Welcome to the Dead Harvey Podcast. This is the place for indie horror filmmakers and fans. We have fun promoting and celebrating indie horror, do interviews, deep dives, and even include some educational material.
Officer Chuck Steele is the best goddamn cop on the force.
Get out of my face.
Today I have with me a very special guest. We're going to go back in time here. I have Kelly Shaw with me. Kelly
Way
Shaw,
back in time.
Yeah, is a friend of mine from high school. And we used to do a public access show. Kelly would be like a frequent guest on the public access show called The Big Picture, where we used to talk about movies all the time. And the public access station was famous because it was called Beer Talk. The guys that hosted the show had one of the very first microbreweries in town, and they had a dog that sat next to them, and then they would just try all the different beers and just basically kind of get liquored up and talk to their dog while they were on the show. So that's the famousness of our public access station in Missoula, Montana. So anyways, Kelly, great to have you back after all these years and be talking about movies again.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I remember those days back in MCAT, and remember the movie we made. You might want to tell them about that.
That's right. We made a movie called JD and DT Jameson, which was about a bum and all the different... It's kind of like Harvey, but with a bum. The famous movie Harvey, where he sees... But like the bum would see all these different characters and all these... Well, all these different characters in a bunny outfit. And all these different characters would represent different parts of his personality as well. But anyways, it was about the lunatic mind of a bum that drinks a lot and sees lots of different people as the bunny.
And I was the bunny.
Yeah, well, you were one of the bunnies. Oh, you were the bunny. So all these different bunnies had all these different things they, or aspects of his personality. And Kelly was the bunny that was peer pressuring him to drink all the time. He was trying to go get food in the convenience store. And Kelly's bunny was the evil, persuasive bunny leading him down the path to the bottle. So. And there is no similarity between our experiences in real life with that also. Okay, so that's our trip down memory lane. And so now we are going to talk about... Well, first, you see, I was deciding whether I was going to torture Kelly or not and make him watch Birdemic or some like super cheese movie like I made Aaron watch and we talked about Suburban Sasquatch. But then I was thinking to myself, I would have to sit through that as well too. So that convinced me to have us watch Chuck Steele, Night of the Trampires. It's weird because I don't hear a lot of people talk about this movie. It's a British movie. I don't think it was ever released in the States, so it's a little bit underground. But it is a fantastic movie. We'll talk about all its merits right here. It's got one of the best plots potentially ever for a movie. It's a stop-motion action comedy horror parody of 80s movies about a cop.
All that matters is there's explosions.
Oh, there's lots of explosions. We miss that from movies now. Those are long gone in movies now, unfortunately. Well, actually, the action movie is kind of almost dead. You see straight-to-video action movies or Marvel action movies, but regular action movies like Commando and Predator and all the classics, those aren't around anymore. So this is a throwback about a cop on the edge that teams up with a vampire slayer to battle hobo vampires that feed off the blood of drunks.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good thing I wasn't in the filming of that. I would have been dead already.
Yeah. No, the great thing about this, too, is that to slay the vampires, you can't stake them through the heart because they've been infused with so much liquor over the years. You have to stake them through the liver.
Well, you know, hence the name of the Trampires.
Yes. So this movie has, well, first of all, since it's stop motion, it's got to look like it's, if you remember the California Raisins commercials, the animation style is like you would see in the California Raisins commercials from back in the day. And it takes place in 1986, so the whole thing is an 80s throwback. So it has that look to it, or like Wallace and Gromit. So think of like the California Raisins or Wallace and Gromit meets Fright Night and Cobra. And
I hope you're old enough to understand those references.
Well, if you're not, the remake, all the new movies now are just remakes of 80s movies anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Eventually, you'll see it. Well, actually, the funny thing is that they're doing another sequel to Lethal Weapon. They've been talking about remaking Cobra. And what was the other one that we just mentioned? And Fright Night. They did a remake of that a couple years ago with Colin Farrell. So you'll be familiar with it.
An 80s movie coming to you soon. A remake.
Yeah, absolutely. So this movie has got all the tropes of 80s movies as it runs through with the parody gauntlet on everything. It's got Lethal Weapon style music, that slow kind of jazzy, somber music when Mel Gibson's depressed. And he's thinking about slaying himself until he watches The Three Stooges. It's got the montage where the hero has like the gun compartments that are hidden inside of his apartment, and it sort of has all his like weapons there. And then he's got that thing that like they train with whenever the action heroes in the 80s movies did the kung fu kind of training.
Oh yeah, with the little like
the wooden pole with the
wooden sticks or something, you know. Yeah. And he's weightlifting, of course, very 80s.
Yeah, and then it's got that like the 80s. It reminded us both of Cobra when we were watching it, when Stallone is like in his apartment eating pizza or something. Or I think he's when he's on a date with Bridget Nielsen and the evil cult is out there like slaying people, and it's got that like super, that almost like synth music behind it, that synth music with the 80s voice. Oh, it's great.
And I must say, you know, the Oscars disrespected this show quite a lot by not having it on.
Ah, the Oscars disrespect many good shows. I mean,
I was only kidding.
Did you know, Kelly, that Raiders of the Lost Ark lost the Oscar for Chariots of Fire?
What?
Yeah. And many other sins in the future for great movies that were passed by. So this has all, like I was saying before, this has all the great 80s movie tropes. It's got an angry boss that yells at our hero, like the boss in Beverly Hills Cop. And, you know, like when Eddie Murphy's like, your ass hasn't all been chewed up by the mayor yet. You still got a little bit left. So it's got that boss in there. It's got a therapist that the hero keeps ignoring. It's got the hero wearing the black jacket and slicked back hair. The hero keeps going through rookie partners constantly, and they keep dying all the time. And it makes you wonder why the Force would assign all these different partners to a hero. Obviously, he works best alone, because whenever he gets assigned a partner, they die usually the first or second day on the job.
Yeah, I call that the Chuck Norris effect.
Yeah. You would think the department would learn eventually, and this is going to be like a potential lawsuit daily for them as well, too, by doing this. But, oh, did you have something?
Oh, no, I was just enjoying this pale ale.
Yeah. Since our hero, Chuck Steele, since he keeps getting his partners killed every time they give him a rookie partner, eventually enough partners die that he gets the best sidekick ever, which is a chimp. And a chimp always makes every movie better. And did you know, Kelly, that in Back to the Future, the original version of Back to the Future, and the script for it, Doc Brown was supposed to have a chimp as a sidekick instead of a dog.
Oh, my mind's blown.
And they told the director, Robert Zemeckis, they told him that he could not use a chimp because they thought that chimps, that nobody liked chimps in movies, that chimps were basically like poison, like box office poison. And he said, well, what about that orangutan Clyde in all the Clint Eastwood movies? And they're like, yeah, but that's Clint Eastwood. But I would like
Who doesn't like chimps?
Yeah,
though?
No kidding. I would like to see an alternate movie version of Back to the Future with the chimp sidekick.
You know, the chimp could bring you beer, too. That's the thing.
Well, they did. You remember?
Clyde? Yeah, he brought beer.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember when Clint Eastwood said, right turn, Clyde, and then Clyde would punch somebody?
Punch somebody, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, chimps are friggin' chimps. Orangutans, whatnot, are awesome. There are dangerous chimps in movies, though, because there was, if you've ever seen the movie Monkey Shines, Kelly, it was about just that thing. It was about, like, a service animal. So the main character is in a wheelchair, and he has this little capuchin monkey. And the little capuchin monkey goes and gets him everything. They're trained to, these animals actually do this. They help out handicapped people to go get them probably like beers or get their keys or whatnot, anything they need, open doors for them and all that. But in this movie, of course, the little capuchin monkey gets too attached to its owner and starts slaying everybody that basically like, is in the owner's life. So if he has a girlfriend, the monkey will slay her. But anybody else, like all his friends, family members, and whatnot, that little capuchin monkey is coming after them. He's the only one in that capuchin monkey's life.
No, Brad, I haven't seen that one. That must have been when I was watching sports, mm-hmm. and you were back here watching movies. Yeah. Specifically football.
Right. And your favorite team is the Steelers. And I used to call you whenever the Steelers would play. And just to annoy you.
This is back before cell phones, so I didn't know who was calling.
And had pointless conversations about, Kelly, what's going on? He's like, oh, I'm watching the Steelers.
He's trying to be polite. I was living with my grandma at the time.
Well, but I would just say, like, so what else are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm trying to watch the Steelers. So I just dragged it out for as long as possible.
That's why you know more movies than I do, Brad.
So anyways, there's another thing that I noticed. He's got the dirty hairy hand cannon in the movie. The largest barrel, most legally available type of gun that he has.
And so, of course, all cops carry this, you know.
Yeah. Shoots off like a rocket launcher every time you fire it.
Yeah.
Oh, of course, he has the tragic backstory with his wife. Constant explosions, one-liners. Basically, all the tropes that I noticed in the 80s movies, except for... They took some liberty in this. Always in these 80s movies, the boss always yells at him. So they have this all throughout this movie. But he plays this game with the boss where the boss will yell at him, and then he'll be like, and if he does something to piss Chuck Steele off, the boss does something to piss Chuck Steele off, he'll say, okay, face or balls. So they play this game where he's either going to punch him in the face or kick him in the balls. And I'm saying, like, I don't think you'd get away with that at any other job. Except for you're like an 80s action hero where you get yelled at by your boss and then are allowed to either punch him in the face or kick him in the balls.
I've had several bosses that didn't sound like a bad idea. Yeah. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm only, you know, I'm just saying it sounded like a good idea, but don't actually do it.
So in all movies, of course, too, we like to include a segment here, which is the Dead Harvey Classroom, because you can't just have fun watching movies anymore nowadays, Kelly.
No.
You always have to learn a lesson from them. So these are the lessons that I learned from watching Chuck Steele, Night of the Trampires.
Okay.
And chime in if you
enlighten us.
Have any add-ons here.
Okay.
Okay. Now, these won't really make sense until you watch the movie, but you'll get the gist. Never play pool with a chimp. Because they will scat on the table and block your shot and then point and laugh at you. Drinking irresponsibly with the right plan in mind has the potential to save the city.
Also well liked.
Yes.
When you get pulled over. No, I'm just kidding. But you can tell the cops that, right? I'm only kidding.
Actually, we put in here like another like life hack lesson is that when you get pulled over, you know, like everybody gets pulled over when they drive a sports car or whatnot. Kelly's trick in high school was to, or college, was to, I don't know how long you had that Dodge for, but he had like this Al Bundy kind of car, this Dodge.
Oh, it was the LTD, the Ford LTD.
this beat up car, and the cops would never pull him over.
Because it looked like your grandpa was just had a couple too many drinks, you know, driving home. This was the 90s. They don't, you know.
Kelly could be leaving a murder scene, and they would just pass him by being like, oh, that's just some old man just trying to get home. He probably can't see past the steering wheel. So, it was an instant, like, it was a decoy for the cops. You know, like how some people have those radars that they have in the car where they'll have, like, where they can listen to the cop radar. Or, it'll blink when a cop's in the range. Right. Or if the cop is a radar gun.
Isn't that called a fuzz buster?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
That was Kelly's fuzz buster, basically, and it worked every time. It was brilliant.
I'll drink to the 90s.
Next. Assigning random rookies to a cop on the edge is a good way to get the department sued. Be cautious of being alone in the back of a truck with a pig because they can get frisky. Never trust your wife around clowns. That one sort of threw me for a loop.
That one has a lot of merit in real life.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Beware of clowns.
Well, girls do like guys with big feet, so... Maybe that's
what are you trying to suggest?
Chimp hurl works better than a banana peel. Foreskin, this I learned something from. Mm-hmm. Foreskin can also double as a holding place for loose change. Wearing a candle on your head serves as an inexpensive source of light and heat. Tent poles are good for impaling flying vampire pigs. Don't practice archery when having the DTs. And last but not least, lizard people conspiracy theories may not be just theories.
Yeah, you got to watch out for the lizard people. Allegedly.
Now, is there any other valuable life lessons that you learned from this movie, Kelly?
Oh, yeah, drinking has a good purpose, you know, and just in case there's like a tramp buyer infestation, you can drink a lot and it actually has a social good. So think about that the next time you're having a cocktail.
Yeah, the important thing is that you just have to have a plan. But the other problem is a lot of times before you start drinking, you'll have the plan and then forget what the plan was, sort of like when I just kind of randomly lose my train of thought here.
He has a plan. He really does.
Yeah, but you have to remember the plan first to put it in action for things to really work out. That's the point of that. So, Kelly, what was your reaction to this movie?
I thought it's great. You know, if you're on some substances that I can't get into, I think it's great. You know, it. I think it's a great movie, and it's a good laugh, and it parodies America very well.
Yeah, it actually it made me just want to like go watch all those classic 80s movies, and sort of like we were talking about earlier, movies are so bad nowadays. That the 80s movies that we saw when we were kids and were like, this is pretty cheese, but it's awesome. They've aged incredibly well compared to how bad movies are now. So movies like, so who would have known, who would have thought that when we were watching Commando and Predator, that was basically like the height of action movie cinema. I don't think it'll ever get better than that. Like the level of explosions, the pacing, the action, like the one-liners, just all that stuff like all together. Like the hero that can barely speak English. But you know what's weird?
Get to the chapa.
Yeah, as Arnold has been in the U.S. for probably like 50 or 60. Well, he's been here ever since he's been 17 or whatnot. And he still has that like super thick accent, which is hilarious. You would think it would have gone away for a little bit, but maybe that is part of Arnold's appeal. So maybe he keeps it purposefully. But Arnold, well, Arnold and Sylvester Stallone are a lot smarter than people think they are. Arnold's like a real estate owner. He was governor. He's done all kinds of amazing shit in his life.
Oh, I know. And we forgot to mention Clint Eastwood in all the Dirty Harry movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's quite the entrepreneur, too.
Well, Clint Eastwood broke up in the movie. Well, broke the mold for this and allowed chimps to be sidekicks in movies after that and be respected. Because they were trying to block them. The studios were trying to block chimp sidekicks from movies. We would have never had that chimp. Or that orangutan. I don't know if you could classify chimp and orangutan in the same category or capuchin monkey, because there are differences between apes, you know, monkeys.
Right, right. Well, there's differences. We're just not, we don't really know the exact differences.
I don't want to miss species.
Right, exactly. Right, exactly. Yeah. We're trying to be respectful here.
Or the chimp and the capuchin.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, if it wasn't for Clint Eastwood and having Clyde as a sidekick in those movies, we may not be having... you know, maybe like all kind of chimp sidekicks would have been banned from movies. So we might not have had Monkey Shines. We might not have had, you know, Jay and Silent Bob. We might not have had Chuck Steele, Night of the Trampires.
The monkey made the show.
Oh, absolutely. It was in it. My complaint with that is that.
Chimp.
Yeah, the chimp. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, apologize to the chimp. No. The stop motion chimp. The chimp, my complaint with that is that the chimp should have been his rookie partner from the beginning. Because the chimp in the movie makes every scene twice as good. But I think this is a fantastic movie. Great pacing. The animation is awesome. And it has a great healthy amount of gore in it, too. So it'll please the horror fans as well, too. So it kind of, it's kind of a crossover movie. If you like the parody movies, if you like action movies or even if you're into movies that are like kind of like the Italian movies that have more gore in them, it's going to give you a little bit of everything. But this has become one of my favorites over the last year. So this was made in 2018, but I didn't hear about it until – well, I think they actually just released it on video this year. Because I think the first time I saw it was about 6 months ago or so when I sent you the trailer for it. But there was another friend of mine that sent me a like – and he was a total movie nerd that sent me a link to it, and I'd never heard of it before. And I haven't heard – anybody else talking about it since then. So, but part of that could be because it's a British movie. But anyways, so do you feel like you have learned and grown as a person from this movie? Because you can't have fun watching movies. There has to be, you have to learn and grow.
Oh, there's so many 80s stereotypes there that, you know, that we don't do anymore, but they're so great that we still can't wrap our minds around them. Like the 80s hero that worked alone. I mean, that was such a mantra back there in the 80s. Yeah. You know, I mean, I guess the biggest lesson I learned is it's too bad the vampires were defeated in this show in the 1400s and then took to drinking and then transformed themselves into trampires.
Yeah.
I think that's the greater lesson right there.
Well, the greater lesson is that society judged them. So they were sort of outcast for society because people were judging them for killing people like vampires do. So they had to sort of go to the underground. Then they became harmless. Then they became homeless and they lived out of cardboard coffins. And then they started drinking more. So because of their
ostracization.
Because they were outcast from society, this is why it happened to them and why they were slaying all these innocent people afterwards. So, yeah, it was someone judging them, Kelly, that caused all this carnage to happen.
And now you know why you have to stake the liver to kill these vampires. <That's right.
laughs> But if they hadn't have been outcast, then Chuck Steele wouldn't have been able to slay them all in all these pretty creative ways. There's a lot of creative deaths in this movie, but very like kind of cartoonish and over the top. So, it reminded me of, if you've seen the original Evil Dead, Kelly, at the end of it, they do a stop motion thing when he's slain one of the creatures in it. And it has like this sort of time lapse thing when Chuck Steele shoots some people in this, and it shows like that kind of time lapse of their flesh eroding and kind of dissolving, mm-hmm. sort of like Raiders of the Lost Ark when their flesh melts, but more kind of like bubbling with that.
That yeah. scared the heck out of me when I was a kid.
Oh yeah, that to me too. It was that, and it was the clown and Poltergeist. Remember that clown that was?
Oh god, that clown and Poltergeist. Thank you for bringing that up. And that little girl that would touch the screen. Dang.
Mm. Yeah, the Poltergeist is. It's weird. Like Poltergeist and a lot of the sequels are cursed. There's a show on Shudder called Curse Films, and they do. Well, they have an episode on The Omen, and then they also have one on Poltergeist. A lot of the people originally with Poltergeist died. There was all sorts of bizarre shit that happened. Like movies like that, like The Omen as well, too. There was a scene where like a guy, basically after Damien came out and he started wreaking havoc, and then all kinds of people just started dying around him. There was a part in the script where a guy gets his head cut off. Like there was a car accident where a beam comes and cuts the guy's head off, something like that. There was a person that died either a week before or a week after they filmed that scene in that movie. But there's weird stuff that happens like that, which is even creepier. Okay, so yeah, so basically the point of this is we didn't just have fun watching this movie. We have learned and grown as human beings. So we have to finish this before we lose all coherency.
Brad doesn't know what he's talking about.
Okay, all right, so wrapping this up, check out this sadly little-known movie. Give it some love. Chuck Steele, Night of the Trampires. And thanks for listening. Drop us a line at mm@deadharvey.com if you have a film you want us to check out. And until next time, if you're going to drink irresponsibly, have a plan.
And watch for trampires.
Yes, and try and remember what that plan was. Okay, until next time. See you on the Dead Harvey Podcast.